the sacrifice of praise.
Throughout world history, we've seen many countries, dictatorships especially, that demand honor, respect, and praise from their people. In South Korea, even today, if you say anything against the government, and you probably will be heard by the wrong person, and if you are, you'll be put in prison. Even if you just don't mourn properly when some important person dies, you're liable to be put in prison. In communist Russia, you had to at least pretend that you believed in communism. You had to pretend that you didn't have any of your own beliefs and convictions and such, or they would find some sort of a way to silence you. You at least had to give them lip service. And in Christianity, we have this verse in Hebrews 13:15. By him, that's of course Jesus Christ, therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So, of course, there are many and multiple obvious reasons that make Christ and his request, and in fact a demand for praise, a completely different category than all these earthly nations that have tried to do it. The biggest reason, of course, is that God is good and actually deserves such praise. There's multiple other reasons, but with that being said, there isn't a whole lot else that needs to be said. God actually deserves such praise. So when he asks for it, he's not going above and beyond where he ought to go. Let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But I want to have a word of prayer before I get going fully into this. Father, we just thank you for this morning we can be here. We thank you that you are worthy of our praise. We pray, Father, that in every way you would help us to more fully know who you are and be able to more faithfully praise you. Amen. The first question that I naturally raise is, what is praise? So I'm going to go into a few details on what real praise is. The first thing is, praise must come from a heart that is right with God. In John 4:24, I'm going to come to this verse later because it's got other interesting points on it. But John 4:24, when Jesus was talking with the woman at the well, he tells her that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God does not tell us here that the soul must be separate from praise. And in fact, God tells us in another place that we are to love him with our whole soul, heart, mind, and strength. Yet, in this verse, when Jesus is listing their requirements that are necessary for praise, he lists the spirit and the truth. The things that we are to praise God for must be true. The attributes that we put on him and what we praise him for must actually be true. Otherwise, the praise is worthless. And the worship must come from the Spirit, not just the soul. In John 3:6, we read that that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And that is the kind of spirit that we need for true worship. We cannot truly worship God if we are not born again. It is absurd to think that a man could devote his life to the cause of campaigning for for Obama, let's say, to become president, and then refuse government health care. But many Christians do the same thing with God. They go to church and, quote, praise God, and then they go home and live in sin. How can these two things be? How can we praise God with our lips and yet not do the things that he says? I met a young man once on the streets of this town. Plugs in his ears. And of course they don't mean this anymore, but plugs in the ears used to mean you were into drugs. Tattoos on his whole body. And from conversing with him, he had no understanding of the gospel. Yet in his mind, he was okay because he was a worship leader at the Four Square Church. So here, in his mind, praising God was enough. But it's not. And Roy tells a story of a man that was once at one of his meetings, and this man maybe it wasn't one of Roy's meetings, I can't remember all the details of the story. But he had his hands in the air, and the tears are rolling down his cheeks. Praise was streaming from his mouth. And yet that night he went home and committed fornication. What sort of praise is this? Praise must come from a heart that is right with God. I'm not talking about absolute perfection. I'm talking about a man that's actually born again. You don't have to worry about little failures in your life before you feel worthy or fit to praise God. In fact, this talks about sacrifice, and I'll come to this later if I don't forget. But many of the sacrifices in the Old Testament were to be given because of an individual's faults. And many a times, that is actually can be a cause for praise. When you look at yourself and you realize some of your own faults, how much more glorious that makes the love of God, and what an occasion to praise Him. In Samuel, we have the story of Saul. You all remember the story pretty well, I'm sure. But Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." Here Saul was told to go and kill, totally annihilate all the Amalekites. And he goes there and he allows his soldiers to take the best of the lambs and the best of the rams and have a sacrifice. And God says, no. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And I'm going to say the same thing. The sacrifice of praise fits the same category. Obedience is better than praise. If you don't have a heart that is right, that is ready to obey, your praise is nothing. God doesn't want your praise unless it comes from a contrite heart. So that was the first point. Praise must come from a heart that is right with God. But not only that, praise must be specific. Psalm 107:15 says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." And in this verse we find the two things that are needful to praise God: who He is and what He does. "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness." Here we have something about the character of God. "And for His wonderful works to the children of men." Here we have
what he has done on our behalf. A man can work himself up into a frenzy of praise and worship. And this is what I was talking earlier about the soul. Worship shouldn't just come from the soul. It needs to come from the spirit. You can get your soul excited, work yourself up into a frenzy without the least understanding of who God is or what he has done. And many false Christians do that. They love the praise and worship service. But people of other religions also praise their God. What makes it different? Christianity doesn't have a patent on praise. But it does have the only God who is worthy of it. And this is the difference. And for this reason, it is important for us to be specific. Let us use praises that only can fit the true God. Such statements as, God, we love you, we praise you, are good, but we can go farther than that. We can be more complete. In the scriptures, we have the example set forth to us of praise being coupled with the nature and work of God. I didn't have time to go through all the book of Psalms, but I went through like the first 30-some Psalms, and every single time that I found the word praise, it was coupled very closely with either an attribute of God, but even more frequently, what he had done. And that's important. It's important for us to keep our praise specific. In Revelation 5:12, we have an example of this. You know, I want to read the verse earlier, and I don't have that one written down. So I'm going to turn to Revelation. Revelation 5. I'm going to read verse 9. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Well, let me just keep reading. And hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Here we have the hosts of heaven praising God, praising the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. There's a reason. In 1 Timothy 1:17, Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. In Revelation, they were praising the Lamb for what he had done. Here in Timothy, we're to give him honor and glory forever and ever because of who he is. Because he is eternal. Because he is immortal. Because he is invisible. Because he is the only wise God. In Jude 1:24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling, what He does, and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. Again, what God does. To the only wise God, our Savior, who He is, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Psalm 7:17. I will praise the Lord according to His righteousness, and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. According to His righteousness. This God we serve is omnipotent. He spoke everything into existence. He's omnipresent. Genesis 28:16. Remember the story of Jacob? When he's fleeing from his brother, he lays himself down to sleep. He dreams the ladder that reaches unto heaven and the angels of God ascending and descending upon it. And he wakes up and he says, surely the Lord is in this place and I knew it not. He's omnipresent. Wherever you wake up, if you didn't realize it when you go to bed, you should wake up in the morning and say, surely the Lord is in this place. Surely the Lord is in this place. He's all-knowing. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been His counselor? God is love. God is gracious. He is faithful. He is true. He is forgiving, and He is our Savior. The reasons that we have to praise Him are endless. Fully endless. And it may sound kind of unnecessary, but our praise must be true. But Jesus felt the need to say that too. And I just quoted this verse, but once again, in John 4:24. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Even David understood that truth was directly connected with praise. We read in Psalm 30:9. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? Our praise must be true. But as just stated, there's multiple things that are true. From the bottom of the deepest sea to the top of the tallest mountain, the things that there are to praise Him for cannot be expressed. If I were to speak of His greatness, and then in turn you were to stand up and use more words and better eloquence, and then again, unwilling to be outdone, I were to stand up again and say more and go to higher heights and deeper depths of the love of God and the greatness and His worthiness of praise. We could go on for all of eternity and never exhaust the things that there are to praise Him for. And oh, for a heart and a mind to praise like that. Our human minds and our human hearts can't comprehend what they should. My mind does not know all the things that I should know to praise Him for. Much less does it remember all the things that I do know. My heart does not believe all the goodness of God. My faith is weak, my trust is small, and my praise is poor. as the songwriter said, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. There's plenty to praise Him for. But the verse says, let us offer the sacrifice of praise. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. And what is a sacrifice? In the Old Testament, it was an animal that was burnt on an altar for a picture of the coming Christ. Sometimes it was demanded for a sin that the person committed. Other times it was just to be a free will offering. I think sometimes that some people have an incorrect idea of what a sacrifice is, and they end up thinking that anything that has a cost is a sacrifice. Sacrifice sometimes has a cost, but a sacrifice does not necessarily have that much cost. Cost and sacrifice are not synonyms, though I do hear them being used that way sometimes. Some people end up almost speaking as if anything that has a cost is a sacrifice. But it's an incorrect idea to speak of sacrificing sin or sacrificing something that's sinful. A sacrifice is something that you offer up to God. Whether it costs you greatly or not. But sometimes a sacrifice does have a cost. Imagine a man in Israel. The Philistines come through the countryside and they take most of his farm. They leave him with a few sheep and a few goats. And then the Feast of Tabernacles comes up. He needs to go to Jerusalem and offer one of those few sheep that he has left. The year before, the Feast of Tabernacles might not have had much cost. This time, now he has a decision to make. This is going to cost him greatly. This sheep that he has, I mean, when he looks at it, he says, this is just enough for me and my family. This sheep is going to cost him a lot. And in the same sense, for us here in America, the sacrifice of praise usually doesn't have much cost. But imagine, again, being in South Korea. Noah, I think, was talking a while ago about how when they sing their songs, they just mouth the words. Because it's that dangerous to be heard. If you are heard, you will likely lose your head. Imagine being in Russia. Imagine a man that was put in prison for his faith, being told not to mention the name of his God. Imagine him in that prison cell singing praises to the God that he loved. That's a high cost. And in both cases, that cost itself adds to the glory that God gets by such a sacrifice. In Israel, they were to take an animal, whether a sheep or a goat. An animal, in fact, the best animal, that could have been used for many other purposes. And they were to take it, and they were to sacrifice it. And offer it up a sweet-smelling savor, acceptable unto God. And today, our task is much more simple even than that. We are to take our lips, the very lips that we can use, could use for many other purposes, and offer up to God a sacrifice of praise. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving praise to His name. As I mentioned, It's a requirement that our heart be right with God, but perfection is not a requirement. God accepts a sacrifice even from a man who is not perfect. Sometimes that was even the occasion for the sacrifice. But it needs to come from the contrite heart. Saying, "I love you, God," 47 times is not necessarily an acceptable sacrifice, but saying it from a heart that truly loves Him is. And I feel it necessary to take a moment and look at a few things that often hinder such praise. The first one that I want to look at is our pride. Because as human beings, we are proud, and self wants honor. Self wants glory. Self wants praise. And the reality is, the more things we praise God for, the less there is left for us. We have a customer at Golden Harvest. This was a long time ago, so I don't really remember the details. But she told us that she liked to take one of our pies, throw the box away, and serve it to her guests. And when they tell her how nice the pie was, she would just smile and nod. And as human beings, we often do the same thing with God. How many times do we take the glory for things that ought to go to God? If she had praised Golden Harvest like she should have, there wouldn't have been any left for her. Because she didn't make the pie. Anybody can say, "Thank you, God, you're wonderful." But only a Christian can add the details. And thank God for the blood of Christ that was shed for the saving of our souls. And in reality, there's a little bit of humility in such thanks. Because we first must admit that we needed to be saved. We first must admit that we were a lost sinner on the way to hell. Just simply by praising His name, we are humbling ourselves in that way. Covetousness. It's hard to bless God for what He has given you when you think you deserve more. But you must take those wants, those desires, and kill them. Lay them aside and praise God for what He has given you. Think of a little child that all he wants for his birthday is that blue bike. But now, if he doesn't get it, we've all seen children completely unthankful for everything that they did get, because they didn't get the one thing they wanted. And we do the same thing to God. If we have one thing on our minds that we want, it will blind us to all the blessings of God. We must stop, set those things aside, and just praise God for who He is and what He has done on our behalf. Sometimes it's just our human emotions. Sometimes we just say, I don't feel like it. But even when we feel sad, we must still stop and remember that though our life changes, Jesus never changes. And He's still worthy of praise. Praise is not just words from the mouth, but it ought to be words that are backed by the very feelings and state of the heart. Praise is our heart's reaction to the goodness of God. Praise is simply the expression of gratitude to God for what He has done. Praise is to extol in words or song, to magnify, to glorify on account of perfections or excellent works. And to close, I want to make one more comparison between sacrifice in the Old Testament and the sacrifice of praise. Because God sees our heart. And the same heart that was in the godly men of old when they offered up an offering on the altar is the heart that is in us when we offer up the sacrifice of praise. When we sing praises to God, He smells the very same sweet smell that filled the temple of old. When we praise God, He hears the same sound as when Asaph, Ethan, and Heman sang a trio around the altar, or when David sang the psalm for the very first time. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name.